her and her sister had to be at the bottom of the water slide when he came down to get the cap, put it back on, because he'd grown all of his sides to make this kind of piece of hair on top with fibres, hairspray, everything like that. And he was just really struggling with his mental health. And I said, surely there's got to be something out there, you know. Women put hair extensions in, they're quite proud of doing that. And they'll outwardly say, look, I've spent £500 on this new hair and I love it. It makes me feel really good. Why aren't men doing that? Or why aren't people with all hair loss?
I'm doing this, and obviously the amount of barbers that I talk to, one of the resounding things of what makes the job good is that kind of knowing you're making someone look sharp and they're feeling good, whether they're going off for an interview or get a wedding and all that kind of stuff. That the kind of, you know, our industry is always rated as one of the happiest.
I posted that on a Thursday. By Friday morning, I had 1 million views. I was like, shit.
Wow.
Lab Bible was picking it up. Other people all around the world were picking it up. And it was just rocketed my business without a doubt. And it's really important to say that social media can turn your business around like that.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony LeBand, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony LeBan, and I'm here today with Rob Wood from Novo Cabela.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming on, buddy.
No
Been
worries.
Wanting to have this conversation for a very long time.
Yeah.
And thanks very much. You're based in the northeast of the country. Yeah. And we force everyone to make the trek to London to come and sit on the couch. So I really appreciate that.
It's nice to come back home a little bit. I'm from Essex, so it's,
excellent.
It's nice.
Good stuff. And that's it, really. So, I mean, maybe you could give us a little bit of a rundown of, like, you know, Rob before Novo Cabello and the success of that, and then we can kind of move on from there.
I've been in the industry for 20 years now, so I started late at 22, compared to a lot of people in my class who are 16 years old, trying to figure stuff out, and just fell in love with it. Just fell in love with making someone feel really good and testing myself, and the creative part of my brain as well was itched.
Yeah.
And it was a job that was always on your feet and you could go anywhere in the world with it, I think, more importantly.
Yeah.
Started in hairdressing.
In Essex? You trained in Essex?
No, that was actually in the northeast. Yeah, so actually, a little bit further back, I was a trained singer and dancer. I got a job up there, a stable job up in the northeast. Ended up having a back injury and then kind of going, right, if I can't carry on with this, what do I do, you know? Mm. And I literally looked through the yellow pages, believe it or not, went, what do I do? And it was web design or hairdressing. I whittled it all down to, and then went to an open day for hairdressing. And yeah, just, I love the fact that it was only me and another lad.
Yeah.
And we kind of got quite a lot of attention for that. And I liked that because I felt like my training was going to be really good. And, you know, anything I wanted, everyone kind of supported. And it kind of went from there. So I got my apprenticeship, worked with a lady who was my boss, ended up becoming my business partner. And we opened our first salon, and I was 25 when that happened. And just kind of, I like the business side of it. She was really heavily the business side. I was kind of the front man, and she was the kind of the numbers and the tax and the VAT and, you know, all that. And then as I kind of went through my apprenticeship as a business owner, I kind of took over more on that. And then I bought the business off, I was 27, 28, and that was it. Kind of business owner as a salon, had that for 17 years.
Okay. And so, then obviously you encountered...
I encountered hair loss,
which
was crazy, because it was a stylist's brother-in-law who was really struggling. And I kind of walked in the staff room one day, and she was upset and frustrated because they were going on holiday. And it was he loved water parks, but the girls, her and her sister, had to be at the bottom of the water slide when he came down to get the cap, put it back on, because he'd grown all of his sides to make this kind of piece of hair on top with fibres, hairspray, everything like that. And he was just really struggling with his mental health. And I said, surely there's got to be something out there, you know. So you naturally kind of go on YouTube and, you know, any social media that's available at the time. And I found Hair Systems. And a lot of the attention was in America. So I kind of looked more and more into it, and I said, I could do one of these, like, if he's okay to be a guinea pig. And he was just like, yeah, anything, like, I don't care, like, I've come to the end of my wits.
And at that point, there wasn't really much going on. There's a few companies floating around.
I think there was a lot going on, but it was so underground. Mm. It was so not spoken about. And with social media, it kind of comes in trends, doesn't it? Yeah. So it wasn't really out there on social media yet. So it was quite hard to find in this country, you know, a company that would kind of supply you or teach you or anything like that, you know. So I had to buy a piece from America, kind of buy a couple of different colours to get the kind of right colour match, and had to watch a how-to on a guy who'd done it at home. And I look back and, you know, it wasn't my best work, obviously, but the impact it had on him was amazing. You know, we closed the salon early. We stayed there till 10 o'clock at night. It took me 5 hours to do. And it just changed his life. And yeah, I was like, oh, I think I'm onto something. Yeah, this is, because I've gone through quite a lot with the industry. I've done the photo shoots, I've done the competitions, built up a really good clientele of mostly women. I wasn't really going overly into the men.
Yeah.
Men would come and see me because I'm a guy and we like talking about football and I like that part. But yeah, I think we all have positions in the industry. If we know we like it or we love it, we find ourselves, do we want to be a business owner? Do we want to go and see the world? Do we want to concentrate on Afro hair or women's hair or men's hair, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a bit of a wake-up call for me.
And how did you find, I mean, presumably the salon closed.
So the girls...
Or did they run in unison for a period?
Yeah, they had to run in unison completely. I had to really learn about hair systems, hair loss, the kinds of hair loss that I could work with. And I was very lucky that a guy was retiring that wasn't too far away from my salon who said, look, here's my clientele and I'll kind of show you what I do and you can kind of go from there. And I was really, really lucky. I grabbed it with both hands. And so from there, I just kind of built my clientele up. And anyone who wanted to be on camera, I just snapped up. I said, right, this will really help me as a stylist, but also get the word out that this is available for people. And the girls eventually bought the salon off me.
Oh, that's lovely.
And it was really, really lovely. It worked out really well. But yeah, I had to, I think when Novo Cabello was properly born, it was just before the lockdown. It was January 2020. So,
And so there's a moment there that, you know, lockdowns happen. You've got rid of your salon. You got rid of the thing you've been focused on for like 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And there you are at this cusp of not just a new business, but kind of new entity. It definitely didn't have the profile that the replacement systems have now.
Yeah.
And you know, you've now we're looking at it there. It's fully embraced by the industry. You know, you're doing shoots with it. You're getting amazing social and all this kind of stuff. But everyone forgets that right back at the beginning, while you were starting this off, you had no, you know, you'd made a big decision to jump.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was still doing my clientele. It wasn't my business, but I was still doing my clientele to get income. And obviously my other half supported me. He had his own barbershop. So when lockdown came, I had that time to really look at my business and really look at what needs to be done within the industry and what we can do as a company. And I always go back to when I started, there was no company there to support me or train me. If they did, it was kind of very quick, grab your money, here's how it's done kind of thing. But there was no after support. They weren't supplying me with the products. It's a big deal for a stylist as well. It's a big deal for that person sitting in the seat. But for the stylist, it's really, you can feel the gravitas of the importance of it. And you just wanted to make sure that you're doing a good job because you want them to feel good, look good. You want to feel confident going out your door. So I knew that Novo Cabello had to be something different, someone who were turnkey, that someone could come in, learn with us, get supported by us, but we supply everything so you don't need to look anywhere, you know, and it's ongoing support. for every single client, because everyone's different, you know.
And your system, I mean, you know, I mean, we've had some experience with it, you know, with at Laban London at the store. You know, it's really smooth. You know, you're ordering your colours, they're arriving. And, you know, it's your network seems to be, you know, really polished. Was that, was that all? I mean, I came in and I've certainly heard from others that, you know, it's really frustrating with other companies that you're wanting to get something, it doesn't turn up. You've got a client waiting and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, you think we've ironed out all the cracks, but because that's a whole new entity as from your background, you know, as system delivery systems, a whole different.
Absolutely. We knew that from getting the systems overseas to into this country, we wanted to make sure that no one had to go through that. So we've cut all of that out and had our own warehouse. But at the very beginning, it was me and my other half. That's all we had. And we were stocking, he had a spare room in his barbershop. So we stocked all the systems there, all the products there. And between us, between all of our clients, between the orders, between the social media, we just done everything like that. But kind of going back, I had, I would say about four people, and two of them were my friends as well, who owned businesses that took on the course just before lockdown hit. And I said, look, I'll give the course to you cheap. I won't really charge, I won't make any money from it, but I want you to give me feedback on how you felt the course was. And they were brilliant. So when lockdown came, I could sit down and get all their notes and go, right, what do they need from a company? So we bullet pointed everything. We started shaping Novo Cabello from there, refining the course, and giving them a real good step-by-step guide. But when we come out of lockdown, obviously everyone was on TikTok, weren't they, through lockdown? And that was my first kind of, right, let's just go and see what we can do with TikTok. There was so much out there that was kind of a really smooth, like, before-after shot. And there was no, like, human element. There was storytelling, anything like that. And it was good work, but there was nothing behind it, or there's someone holding a face shield, and it was still that tag of shame on systems. And, you know, we know women put hair extensions in, they're quite proud of doing that, and they'll outwardly say, look, I've spent £500 on this new hair and I love it, it makes me feel really good. Why aren't men doing that? Or why aren't people with full hair loss?
They were. I mean, that's the factor. I mean, you know, from doing this and obviously the amount of barbers that I talk to, you know, one of the resounding things of what makes the job good is that kind of knowing you're making someone look sharp and they're feeling good, whether they're going off for an interview or get a wedding and all that kind of stuff. That the kind of, you know, our industry is always rated as one of the happiest.
Yeah.
Because of that kind of fulfillment of, you know, everyone coming to see you, it's like the best audience you can have. They're coming to see you because they want to be made to feel good and so on. But you know, as a bald fella, and I lost my hair really early. So you talking about your guy, I remember desperately kind of hard gelling my hair into a shell that wouldn't move. Yeah. And I dreaded going to the beach that it would kind of wonky up and for me, you know, God, probably 30 odd years ago, I just shaved my head and you know, I'm shiny and that's my, and I'm very used to it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really remember the kind of trauma and upset and all that kind of stuff that went on. And certainly that kind of element of shame about wigs and hair pieces and hair transplant 30 years ago were not good.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're showing that, like you say, not just the proudness of it, but the kind of emotion that is so raw with some of these guys.
Yeah, it really is.
And certainly fellas that you're not expecting it.
No.
You know, big old burly lads that are like, give it a go, and all of a sudden, and you see it, this wave of all this kind of pain and upset that's been shelved for such a long time just comes to the front, just with a haircut. You know, and that's phenomenal to see. But behind the scenes must be quite exhausting for you, quite emotionally tough.
It's so rewarding. I still now, I just don't get bored of it. I do it again and again and again. And I think the breakthrough for me was when we got Adam on. He was known at the time as the London bus driver. Yeah. He contacted me on TikTok and said, like, what's his hair system like? About, you know, and so we had a chat. He was 29 at the time. And I said, are you open to anything? Because he was a content creator as well. He said, yeah. What would I say? Well, what if we go around the streets of Newcastle and say, guess how old he is? Because he's always said he's looked 45 for the last 45 years, you know. And, right, okay, we'll do that. So we've got people to do that. We went and done his blind reaction, got an amazing reaction from him. He was just disbelief, went into emotions, just went into just laughter. You know, it was just all of the above, you know. And then we went back out into Newcastle and asked other people, how old do you think he is? And we brought his age down. And it just blew up. It was a massive turning point. It was what people wanted to see. They had that story. They saw a human behind that transformation and they really supported us. And I posted that on a Thursday. By Friday morning, I had 1 million views. By the Sunday, I had 1,000 emails sitting in my the inbox. I was like, shit.
Wow.
Like, this was little old me. I had a friend staying over. He stayed for an extra 2 days to help me calm this storm that was going on. Lab Bible was picking it up. Other people around the world were picking it up. And it was just, it just rocketed my business without a doubt. And, you know, it's really important to say that social media can turn your business around like that.
But you gave a lot. And I mean, I think that you know, with all of them, you can see how kind of emotionally involved you are with them. You know, you go so often. Come on.
Yeah, I'll cry.
You've got to have dried out by now, mate. Absolutely. You must be a husk of a fella now.
No, absolutely.
Because you
not.
Go constantly. It was, and you can see that connection between you. And I think, like you say, there's one of like, oh, yeah, non-Balears, now you've got Balears in it, pretty, yeah. But you can't help but get kind of caught up in, you know, not just, oh, how old is he going to look now? Or, oh my God, he looks so much younger.
Yeah.
It is that kind of, you can just see it. That it's amazing, the kind of emotion that comes out.
And it's just like you're saying, like men do bottle it up. There's years of bottling it up. And even down to the consultation, I've had a 45-minute consultation of a man literally going through all emotions just because it's the first time he's talked about losing his hair. And it's really important. And people that are Novo professionals now, it's the first thing that we do within our teaching is about working out the mental health of the client and know their story first before you even start giving them a hair system. Because I'm not saying hair systems are for everyone. They're not. But they're a really great service for a hairdresser or a barber to do that's going to not lose their client because they're losing their hair and you say, see you later, bye, you know. And really fully understanding that person just makes it just so much more enjoyable, you know, that they're telling you all the way through the service, like how they've come to lose their hair, how they feel about it. And men are, we're getting better, aren't we? You know, we're getting better at talking, we're getting better at connecting with our emotions and then sharing those. But I think there's nothing that can prep someone to go put these glasses on and then the next time you take them off you're going to look completely different and capturing
it's
that
so different. I mean that's the absolutely phenomenal with it, that even as a professional and even, you know, and having experienced it myself, you're kind of like, wow, it really does hit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a kind of a couple of facts is that 30% of 30-year-old men start seeing hair loss and hair thinning. 50% of men, I've got 50%. That's an easy one to remember. And people are getting younger and their foresight for the future is younger. You know, we used to say when we remember your gran, they used to be really old, but actually when you look at pictures, she was only 50 or something like that. Well, 50-year-olds now are just not.
Right.
You know, they dress and kind of act quite similar to 20-year-olds. Mm. And people do want to look smarter for longer and feel more confident about themselves for longer. And this is a 2-hour service that can completely turn that around, you know.
I mean, we had Dan Gregory, who, again, his blew up in a similar kind of way to yours.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a guy who was young lad, good-looking lad, but was kind of combing his hair in every possible way to hide it. And he just said the response from that is so huge. And I guess it's still, and hopefully getting better, but it's still kind of that last taboo, isn't it? The kind of the baldness is seen as absolute kind of gut punch to a youngster who's losing their hair. The emotion of it doesn't change.
Yeah, and people aren't allowing people to do what they want to make them. So we do this every day. So whether it's like buy a new face cream, buy a new shampoo, get some new clothes, get a holiday. Buying a holiday makes you feel really good and excited. Why can't men do that? Yeah. You've got to allow men to do that. And unfortunately, there's still going to be people and trolls out there that just want to say it for saying its sake. They would never say it in front of your face. Let's be honest.
The keyboard warrior is brave from a distance.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think what's really good about hair systems now is that a hairdresser and a barber can do this service. Because, men's grooming and barbering have come such a long way, as you've seen and spoke to so many professionals. It's really shifting because men want more now. Yeah. They demand more from their barber. And there's nothing worse than to think that, I can't do this because it's a hairdresser's job or it's a surgeon's job or someone like that. Barbers can do that too now. And for business, it's a really good business to be in, not only for well-being, but for money, which is why we're in business anyway, aren't we? We can't forget that. The profits are very good. I still think there's a lot to be done on the greedy side of it. I still feel like there's people out there that are, this is a niche service, so I'm going to charge an extra £200 on it. I still think there is, but I think the more the competition starts poking at them,
we'll centre down the pricing.
Yeah,
We had a couple of guys that really loved it.
Yeah,
and you said before kind of the pressure that's on them, and it is. Both were very established barbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big step. And obviously, I'm assuming everyone's kind of seen them in action. But you are taking these guys and you're shaving off the completely top of their head, the top of their hair that a lot of them have kind of nurtured, placed, loved every individual hair.
It's a comfort blanket,
And that, the exposure from that, I think that will always weigh heavy on them, that they'll be kind of like, but this is the bit.
Yeah.
And once it's gone, your kind of call to action to make it look amazing is huge. Do you still feel that? And do the people you've trained, do they go through that and out the other side of that?
I suppose like doing any hair, like your experience starts bringing your confidence up. So if you've got experience, I'm a lot more confident. I've got a plan. Probably take it for granted now what I'm doing, where I'm going. The most important part, though, is consultation. It's so, so important for these men, women, children, anyone that's sitting in your seat. You've really got to take the time to get to know that person as much as you can. It isn't just about a guy coming in going, I want a skin fade, I want it like this, that which still takes a lot of skill and there's still responsibility for doing that. I don't take anything away. But when you are dealing with someone who, like you've said, I've taken so much time. I've got a guy who takes 2 hours in the morning before he had a hair system to get it in place, get his shower, get it in place, do his fibers, do the hair, make sure every single angle's right before he steps out that door. The anxiety levels from that man is up here. So you've got to bring him down. You've got to explain what you're doing, why you're doing it, how long it's going to take in the morning. It normally takes 10 minutes, which they like straight away, like, this is amazing. You're giving these people time and you're making them feel more confident. But we've got a simple two-question mental health questions in our consultation. It's a very simple numbering system, which basically gives the stylist the kind of insight into that man's or person's mind on how they feel and how they feel when they look in the mirror, because you can't get inside their head. Some people are just coming along going, do you know what? I'm bald. I'm all right with it, but I just want to see what I'm like with hair.
Yeah.
And that's what, 30%. The others are, I don't go outside the front door unless I've done this routine. I work from home. I can't go to restaurants because I don't like wearing caps. Those kind of people. So once you've got this score, they've got some information from them then. so they can start getting to know them and that kind of thing. And I think it's really, really important. And I do say to stylists, you know, it could take half an hour, it could take 10 minutes, but it could take an hour. Because like we said, you know, it could be a 40-year-old guy unpacking 20 years of hair loss. And he's once he's done that, though, you can almost see the relief.
Yeah, no, it really is. And that comes over in... in a very short space in your videos, it's quite amazing how, you know, it's not just that they look younger; they feel you can see the relief coming off them.
Yeah, 100%.
And I remember, I mean, I don't think there's an awful lot of photographs of me in my early to mid 20s because I hate having my picture taken because you could see through my hair.
Yeah,
it definitely affects people hugely.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, this is for people with irreversible hair loss. So what we're doing now, what we're concentrating in this year are long haired systems. So we don't want to call them women's systems because I've got a guy who's got a big top knot. He looks like a big Viking and he's got this massive top knot and he loves it. So we're really concentrating on the long hair. And children are... Just last week, done a 12-year-old boy, moved to big school, hair just went. He had a thick head of floppy blonde hair, and all of a sudden he's lost it. And it's like, he shouldn't be going through that.
No.
You know, so the concentration on men is great, but it's for anyone with irreversible hair loss, you know. And I just want Novo Cabello to be that company that kind of sees everyone, you know. We're working on the Afro. We've got an Afro specialist who's working with us now to design our course for Afro men at first and then working on with men, women and long hair. Everyone deserves to have hair if they want to. If they're not comfortable in the position they're in now, then they should have that chance, you know.
No, I mean, I think there's that, I like that it's that normalizing, like you say, everyone should have it, should have long hair. You're not stuck with, you know, short back and sides with your piece on the top, that there's more options. And, you know, it's just popped into my head that I loved your April Fool's thing of of you moving into beards. I don't know if everyone saw that, but I kind of like the fact that you kind of, if you've got a guy that's at a very emotionally raw stage to be able to be kind of, you know, to be able to be fun and it for be a nice experience.
Yeah.
It's a huge mountain. It must be, and that's a big part of it, I think.
Yeah. It is serious and it is emotional. Mm. I feel like we all need a bit of fun in our life. It doesn't have to be so serious. And I've been very lucky because I've got a clientele now who come round to exhibitions with me, training courses with me, and they're willing to sit there with no hair while someone's learning or watching. And without them, I can't do half the stuff.
But it's brilliant. I mean, I've seen you at different things and your guy, and they're so upfront. And I'm sure, you know, there's certainly a confidence now that they presumably didn't have prior to the system.
Oh, 100%.
You know, for these guys to be sitting there with their kind of carefully coiffed hair would not have sat under a spotlight, sitting on a stage being talking about their baldness in front of everybody.
Because there shouldn't be any reason to. There shouldn't be any reason to. But unfortunately, we're dealing with decades of shame like we have done in other areas of our life that actually goes through from generation to generation. Yeah. And it's about breaking that. And I suppose, in a way, if my mission was to break that shame 5%, then I've done it. You know, I've done what I've set out to be because, you know, we'd done a collection. We were the first ever company to do a hair system collection for a barber magazine, Barber Evo. And they were like, we completely get your vision, completely support, and they let us run with it. And, you know, these guys were getting in a packed studio, getting photographed, and people were just like, this is amazing. Like, wow. And it's, for me, I'm like, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
But for the industry, I think it's just about educating and know that you can do this. This isn't an underground topic or service anymore. Anyone can do it. And within the next 5 years, I say this a lot, within the next 5 years, you would be able to go into any barbershop, any hairdresser, just like hair extensions did in the 90s. You know, it was all just one person, one salon doing it. You will be able to go in and get a hair replacement system, no problem at all.
Well, they always kind of said that the richest man in the world is going to be the guy that solves baldness.
I know, it looks like there's not too many tablets flying around.
But so I guess a few, not that we're making this too much of a sales pitch, but I mean, a few frequently asked questions, I guess, from a barber turning up or making that initial step. You know, we know we've got clients, we've seen the stuff, we know what you're doing. That step to joining and becoming trained, how does the training run?
So we do a one-day physical course for the short hair systems, but we do it with a blended learning. So you've got videos that you can watch before you come along, so you can really familiarise yourself. And then you can watch it as many times as you want after you do that.
And are you fitting a system to someone on the day's training? It's not on a mannequin?
No. We do all live models. I think it's really important to have a live model because they can tell the stylist their story as well and really kind of get their, you know, the human connection going on from there, but also start their portfolio with a real person.
Yeah.
And then they become a Novo professional, so which we support them from their first system, second, third system, however long they want with us. Their educator gets assigned to them, so we've got four educators including myself now across the country and Ireland.
And they're cutting, is there different cutting tech? I'm just going through a kind of I know the kind of things that get asked to me. Change of cutting style, does what they know as a qualified talented barber, does that still kick into play, or is there a different approach to cutting?
Like, you've got to be confident in cutting, right? I think if you're going to go into something like this, you want to be quite established. We do get a lot of salon owners and business owners coming, but I've seen like award-winning barbers have meltdowns. It's quite funny actually, but it's a really nice wake-up call for them. They go, hang on a minute, I've got to cut a different way here. And we've got a very specific cutting technique that I'm very proud of, that I've done, you know, used and refined over the last 10 years of doing it. And for someone to walk in and feel a bit uncomfortable, I think good things come to when you come out of your comfort zone. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they've all come out going, I've loved that.
Wow,
because they really feel like they've added some more skills to their tool set, you know, their skill set, sorry. So yeah, they have the day with us, and we offer a really good package in the sense that they get free systems with their training as well, so they can use it on their models or their first clients.
So do you tend to encourage them to give a couple away free and do it, put themselves together, or do you?
We can support. We never tell. Everyone's business is so different, and they're from all over the country and parts of Europe. So we kind of tailor it to their business. We ask them at the end of the day, how'd your business run? And then how do we think it would fit in? But ultimately, we don't tell them what to do because they will know, but we will always support.
And the confidence levels you found amongst your partners now that have done the training, it rises. I mean, I certainly found it rose very, very quickly.
Yeah. They're very raring to go. And I think that's why we give them the free systems, because they've got them there. They want to hit the ground running, because like if anything, when you learn something, if you don't put it into practice, your confidence goes down.
Yeah.
So, they pretty much hit the ground running, and off they go. And once they're comfortable to take in clients, then we put them on our map and we start driving clients to them, you know, just through our social media alone, you know.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, sadly, we're not running with it at the moment in the store, just primarily because one of the guys that was trained as gone off to Oz. And we're looking to replace a new barber who, you know, as the team balances, hopefully we'll get someone back up to you. But even though we're not doing it, we're kind of bouncing people back to you. You know, 4 or 5 a week. You know, there's a real stream of, and we keep a supply of your glue pens too, because there's always someone like, have you got one? So, you know, it's not something we're doing, but, you know, more from, you know, less of design and more from accident at the moment.
I think the way to look at it from a business owner, because I have been asked a few times, like, do we get our own exclusive radius and things like that? I think ultimately you don't have one with your normal barbershop. So why would you have one with hair systems? You know, we promote them all the same. They're all on our map. We don't cut back or move anyone around. It's down to the customer. Our mission is so people don't have to travel more than half an hour to get this done.
And I'd have thought the loyalty to you once you've had that system, you know, even if there is a place up the road, if your system's been looked after and you're happy and it's working, you know, that's a very loyal customer.
Yeah, like we support the professionals to support their clients. So we can support clients sometimes, but we don't know the full story.
Yeah.
So we will always support the professional and try to get the best out of it. But ultimately, yeah, we've got the helpline that's in the UK and we've got professionals and your own educator talking to you and supporting you step by step, you know. So it's, we've got a lot of people now over the country really kind of on board. I love the fact they're really passionate about the brand, because you feel like, you know, way back when you started, you think, will people like get it? And will they like it? Will I create something that's...
Well, I think that was the bit, that step into the void. I mean, you know, me and Luke constantly talk about a new barbers, and just found another one. He's cut his hair this week. I'm saying nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot in our industry talks about new ones popping up and popping up and popping up. Yeah. You know, to venture into a new business that's a very barren field. It's not, you know, like you say, a small little cupboard in the back of the barbers.
Yeah.
And now you have a warehouse space and,
You
know, your logistic knowledge must be off the chart and all these things that have come with it. You know, I mean, I think your personal journey from the kind of those points of lockdown and sitting there kind of going, oh, yeah, that was a bit shit. We'll change that. Okay, how can we do this?
Yeah.
And then, like you say, even to, you know, your London bus driver who turned out to be a huge kind you know, media hand grenade that went off.
Yeah.
It's all been a real learn for you, presumably, that you weren't expecting.
Absolutely not. And, at the end of the day, with a successful business, it doesn't take one person, it's the people around you as well. And I'm so lucky to have, we're still a very small team. I've got three educators and three that's in HQ. So I've got my other half who's the barber and he does hair systems as well. I've got a Susan, everyone needs a Susan. She basically she does all the ordering, the warehouse side, but all the support side. And then she, you know, sends it out to whoever needs to be connected with. And then we've got a guy called Gary who works on the business and moving the business forward. And that's what, he was actually a client and he was like, how are you doing all this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to have a breakdown soon. He's like, I think you might need me. And he just went out into retirement, then kind of dragged him back out of retirement. But there's not many of us. And it's moving, it's growing nicely, it's organic. And I think the biggest thing for me is just making sure that it should sit in the industry comfortable, like where extensions are, where colouring is, because it's another service that we can do.
I mean, I certainly see, you know, we'll definitely have guys in the store now having a bit of colour blend going in through the temples, blending out their beard and so on. And that's really normal now. Yeah. And I remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago that was seen as, you know, as not right. You know,
exactly. You know, I mean,
and barbershops didn't colour hair and you know, ours is a very traditional, you know, barbershop in appearance, but modern barbers carry lots of other tools now, and the modern clientele want more, you know.
Absolutely.
And like you say, you're not throwing away a hard-lived client just because they're undergoing hair loss.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to ask them where are they going to go with this? Are they just going to accept it and shave it off, which is absolutely cool. Do they want to go and get a transplant, go to Turkey? I wish they'd have them in this country more. I feel... Yeah, that's another conversation, I suppose. You know, don't want to go off on a tangent. Or do they want something that's a bit more instant? As far as the hair system goes, you know, we all play a part. You know, there's not one that's better than the other. And there's certainly some people that can't have transplants. And there's people probably that can't have a hair system for whatever reason. But if you've got it there, if you've got the service there, you know, I've seen one of my barbers, she's literally gone from barbering on her own and she's just gone all hair systems now. Her business grew that fast because she was passionate. Yeah. She was good at them. She literally just flipped her business. She went, I did not realize this was going to be my
And it must be. I mean, you know, when if you have ones fitted, the response you must have from others, and there must be points that you know, mates and others will come over and kind of go, done. And the referral for that must be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, out of a group of most of us have got a kind of little clan of half a dozen or 10 that our kind of gang we move together with, and there's, you know, yeah, there's always someone undergoing an element of hair loss.
Yeah, it's funny because I had a lad a couple of weeks ago who went, I'm the first of five mates, by the way. So they're all waiting for me at the
pub. He was the first one to find
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're waiting for me at the pub, waiting for me to see how good it is. And then they're all going to come book it. And I get a loyalty card out.
But you can see that. You know, you can really see how contagious it would be.
Yeah.
And you know, you're saying that you've had a lot of, you know, 30-odd, 40-year-olds that are feeling like they're in their 50s.
Yeah.
But I've seen, you know, you've had some really young lads and certainly kind of guys in their 20s.
Yeah.
That, you know, may end up going down the transplant route, maybe later on or whatever, or just using this as a bridge of while they're working it out. But to get that, like you say, that emotional baggage, that stress. Mm. And just to be able to talk about hair loss, you know, I think it's something that I have a lot of conversations with a lot because, you know, unsurprisingly, most guys are quite comfortable chatting to me about hair loss. So I have it a lot, but to have something that you can then start offering that isn't go and see someone about some medication or hair transplants, or to have a set of tools in your bag that you can either recommend or utilize is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you don't want to feel you don't want to feel helpless as a professional, do you? You don't want to feel like you sit that awkward time in the seat going, oh, I think this is the last time now and don't show me the back and it's all a bit too awkward. Yeah. And women that I see are very, very much more open about how they feel and how it affects them. It's children are the. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a 7-year-old myself, and that's the real kick. You think, God, no, kids should be going through this. But if you know you've got something that you can do just to try.
Oh, the family must have been knocked out by your.
Well, the dad was born. He's like, I'm going to get one now. He's not going to have a whole.
And that was a kid.
So I'm getting feedback this week, actually, because it was only, it was a week or so ago that I'd done it. He came in with this big woolly hat and it was boiling hot outside. And he said, I don't want to look in the mirror. I said, that's absolutely fine. No worries, we'll turn you around and we'll do it all. And there's loads of hair coming off and stuff like that. And his dad's going, it's looking good. You're right. Yeah, good. I turned around and his face was just like, it looks so real.
Yeah.
It looks so real. And he just stood up and I'd still had the gown on. I went, let me take the gown off. And he had his Manchester United football kit on. He's going, Dad, it looks so real. And it was just... worth his weight in gold. Like you just, and I got a lovely email off his auntie saying he's just got back. The whole family's like over the moon for him. He's got the rest of 6 weeks holiday to get used to it, and then he's going to go to school. And I think that for me is probably I hope he's going to be okay at school because you know kids can be cruel. But like if I'd just done him for the rest of my life, it'd be like. Made up, you know, it really is.
And you've done some stuff because I saw you popped up with the Prince's Trust. Was it the Little Princess charity?
So it's Katie Piper Foundation.
Right, sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
Like I said, my research is terrible.
So the Katie Piper Foundation was really cool, actually, because I actually contacted them through lockdown. I said, just rob them. You know, I didn't even say the company name at the time. And said, you know, I think I can help you out. I'm just in the Northeast, so give me a shout, whatever. And they got back basically a standard email of, you know, we have so many inquiries and blah, 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 but we'll keep you on our books kind of thing. Oh, that's absolutely fine, whatever. And then I got a message through Instagram sort of 6 months ago now. And so we're from a charity, and I phoned them up and said, oh, what charity is it from? I said, Katie Pike Foundation. I was absolutely over the moon because, you know, these people that have and burnt the burn survivors will lose, can lose their hair, you know. Again, men, women and children, you know. And we built a partnership with them, and we're just starting to do our first clients with them now. We're doing a big press release with Katie soon, and again doing a blind reaction for this lady.
Excellent.
Who's gone through horrific times. You think you really kind of bless yourself that you've got a good life, and yeah, that's going to be cool. That's but it, obviously I think everyone would like to help a charity out and feel you know they've got something to give, and I think it just aligns with us really, really well, and I'm really looking forward to doing more and more with them, you know.
Fantastic, mate. Yeah. Another set of emotions to go through.
Yeah. Oh, there won't be a dry eye in the ring. I'm an emotional wreck. But it's just so nice that I think, you know, from day to day, barbers and hairdressers don't realise the powers that is in their hands, you know, to change someone's life. And we've worked closely with the Barber Collective, obviously, in the past with, with Tom Chapman. And again, it aligns really well with his beliefs, is the fact that, you know, don't take for granted the person that's in your seat, you know, and understand we're under pressure and time and stuff like that. But when you have that time to stop and listen, you can really listen to someone and just make a little change.
Yeah.
You don't have to make something like giving them hair and whatever, you know. But if you want to do that and you want more, a high reward in that sense, then, you know, the systems are the way to go.
Mate, well, there's nothing I can add to that. That's it. I'm sure we'll keep talking.
Thank you so much.
Rob,
absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much for listening.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.